my peeps. Welcome to Workday Playdate. We are the podcast where we turn the everyday chaos of leadership into connection, creativity, and a little bit of comedy. Now, it is June, and that means we are diving deep into our theme of the month, working through uncertainty. Now, whether you're sipping coffee in your sweatpants or you're sitting in actual pants as at a hot desk in a hybrid office, I just want you to know today's episode is for you. Because let's be honest, that return to the office life, it's been awkward. It's been clunky. It's been uncertain, to say the least. Which brings us to today's juicy topic, hybrid headaches. Here's how to make the office return less awkward and more awesome. Let's get into it. Okay, here's the sitch. Leaders everywhere are trying to figure out, how do I get my team to actually want to come into the office without turning into a corporate cruise director or offering free pizza every Wednesday? The hybrid world we now live in has blurred every single boundary. Home is work. Work is home. Your kitchen table is now a boardroom and a preschool art studio. And while flexibility has been great, studies have shown us that nearly one in three employees feels less connected to their team in a hybrid setup. And that is according to Microsoft's 2023 Work Trend Index. So when people finally do come into the office, it can feel stiff. It can feel forced. It can even feel performative. You know the vibe. Hey, Steve, it's nice to see your legs again. Is this seat taken or is it emotionally unavailable? Yeah, we're going there. So if you are a people leader trying to bring the team back in a way that feels intentional, not awkward AF, this episode is calling you in. We see you. You are juggling Slack pings, performance reviews, and panicked looks from employees who don't remember how to use the communal coffee machine. You are trying to create connection, but also boundaries. You want people to feel safe and seen, not micromanaged or monitored. You are doing the best you can, and there's a better way. So grab your coffee, your courage, and maybe that old pair of office shoes you haven't worn since 2020. We're about to give you 10 leadership tips that will make returning to the office less awkward and way more awesome. Let's go. Okay, here is leadership tip number one. It's data-backed. It's human-centered. Number one, start with empathy. What does this mean? Before you roll out mandates or structure, start by listening. Understand how your people are feeling about hybrid life. Here's how to do it. You can run an anonymous pulse survey asking, what's your biggest concern about returning to the office? And number two, you can have managers hold one-on-ones that start with what would make the return feel good for you. So first and foremost, anonymous surveys are awesome. We use them as a pre-work survey here before, not for this specific thing. We do pre-work surveys here at Improve It before we go in to do a live event. And when you make a survey anonymous, it gives people the actual ability to say what they really want to say, not hold back. So that anonymous survey, what's your biggest concern about returning to the office, can give you some good input. And then you can ask your leaders to hold one-on-ones. And ask, what would make this feel good for you? What would make coming back to the office feel good for you? And see what they say. This is why it matters. Gallup found that 70% of variance in team engagement is due to the manager. Empathy creates trust, and trust creates buy-in. So listen, number one, start with empathy first. Number two, make the first day back a celebration, not a lecture, okay? Don't make the return feel like detention. Instead, design a welcoming experience that makes people so excited to be there. Here's how you can do it. You can greet them as they're coming in. You can play music. You can have fun things out on the table. People love food. Create a space where people want to congregate. Make it like a party. And then you can host a 30-minute re-onboarding improv game or team warm-up. I know a guy or girl or a group of humans who could come in and help you do that. You can create a photo booth, the welcome back memory wall. Treat it like a party. Make it fun. Make it exciting, and they'll want to come back. Now, HBR research shows us that teams with shared positive experiences increase collaboration by 50%, and they feel more psychological safety. So making it a celebration, not a lecture or like sitting through an awkward orientation, is important. People will remember how you made them feel. Number three, define your purpose, not just the policy. People don't just need rules. They need reasons. Frame your in-office days around what they're best for. Connect, y'all, what is happening? You know I keep it real and don't edit. Let me get back to it. What are they best for? There's three C's: connection, creativity, and collaboration. So instead of saying, we're in on Tuesdays, say it, Tuesdays are team innovation days. No Zooms, all brainstorming. Reinforce that presence equals participation, not micromanagement. So you're bringing people together. And I will tell you this for free. Anytime my team and I brainstorm, if we do it over Zoom, it's fine. It's great. It still works. When we are in person, that collaboration just heightens. People feel and feed off each other's energy. When you're on Zoom or on Teams, you've got that wall between you, the virtual wall. Let's break that third wall, bring people together, and give them a purpose. We're going to brainstorm. And behavioral science backs this up. It shows people are more likely to follow rules if they understand why they exist. Purpose drives intrinsic motivation. All right. Number four, schedule serendipity. What does that mean? Remote work erased the water cooler moments, y'all. Now, us people leaders need to intentionally design spontaneity. So here's how you can do this. You can set up coffee roulette with random people pairing every month. You can say this month, such and such is meeting with this and such, and you are going to have coffee together in this Zoom room. Okay, this is something to do when you are in that hybrid work mode of working from home. So you can set up coffee roulette, create random pairings with people every month, try to pair people who could be great mentors to somebody in the organization. You can use Slack as a way to create culture and post daily question, like what's a movie you've seen 10 times? People love to talk about television. You can place whiteboards when you are in the office in communal areas with fun prompts or gratitude boards that just create connection and community. So I'm giving you this, but I want you to know there's science that backs this up too. MIT's Human Dynamics Lab found that spontaneous casual conversation is the number one predictor of team productivity. The number one predictor of team productivity. So schedule serendipity. Don't just wait for people to magically create connection. Create it for them. Be the creator of spontaneity. Number five. I want you to ditch the one-size-fits-all mentality, because not everyone's life or role fits neatly into a template. Give your team flexibility within a framework. So here's how you can do that. You can allow teams and individuals to vote on which days they're in. Now, I know a lot of leaders like all of the team to be in on the same time. So you can host a vote. Okay, we're coming in 3 days a week. Let's pick the 3 days. And as a team, you do a collective vote and the top 3 days win. You can also offer hybrid core hours for collaboration and flexible hours for deep work. So you can say, okay, we're going to do some core hours. And this is where we're going to have anybody who wants to jump onto this brainstorm. And then we're going to have flexible hours for deep work. Because here's the deal. Not everybody wants to work from home all the time. Not everybody wants to come into the office. Sometimes some people don't want to come in at all. So you kind of have to meet people where they're at. Not everybody is going to be on board with the entire scenario that you're presenting to the team. But if you allow them to vote and you give them buy-in and you give them flexibility within the structure, people are going to feel seen, heard, and valued. And you know what happens then. So I also want to tell you, McKinsey has a report that says that 87% of workers take flexibility into account when choosing their jobs. 87% of workers. What happened, in my personal opinion, in 2020 was that we blurred the line between work and life because work was at our home. And now that people have received this sort of flexibility and they received the freedom of sitting behind their desk with their pet sitting next to them working barefoot, maybe with pants on, maybe not, they got a taste of it and they don't really want to go back. So I will tell you, for me personally, my team had an office. We had an in-person office. I used to get up and commute 30 minutes each way in Chicago. And of course, I don't know if you know this, I now live in Charleston, South Carolina, where I work from home every single day. I can't even imagine commuting 30 minutes. Like, that's an hour of productivity that I don't get back. And so for me, working from home is great. Now, most of my team, my internal team sits in Chicago and they live in apartments, which I did too when I lived in the city. And they really wanted a co-working space. So they had the option to choose to come into the office or not. So we got a co-working space so that they can go and see each other and have that camaraderie and they get to choose the days they do that. But they also have the option to work from home. So again, it's not a one size fits all. Really take what your team is saying to you into account when you're creating these rules. Number six, acknowledge the awkward. All right, so here's the deal. Everybody knows when there's an elephant in the room, pretending everything is fine creates tension. Instead, call out the weirdness and use humor to lighten the mood. So you can do this with improv-based icebreakers to melt stiffness. First and foremost, we have a list of 100 non-cheesy icebreakers that you can download for free. We will put these in the show notes so you can literally take this. It comes to you via email and you can use it and take any one of them to inspire an icebreaker at the top of a meeting. There are 100 non-cheesy ones. So this is your freebie. Take it, use it, grab it. It's yours. And then use those to melt stiffness at the top of meetings. Say something like, we're all figuring this out together. Awkward moments are welcome here because laughter is going to lower your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and it increases the group cohesion. Vulnerability builds trust, especially in transitional times. So know it's going to be clunky. Call it out. Say something like, I know the return to the office is going to be clunky, right? It's going to feel kind of like the first day of school, and then we're going to have to get through the kinks, and then it'll become the quote unquote new normal, which everybody hates that phrase now. But have that conversation on the upfront. Don't just sweep it under the rug. People feel tension. So if you can change the energy by changing your energy and being vulnerable and calling out the awkward, everything will be different. All right, number seven, you're going to curate connection rituals. So rituals build identity and community. They turn small moments into culture-building habits. Here's something you can do. Now, at the top of every Thursday meeting with my team, we do this virtually. We have a weekly win session where people say a win that they've had for the week. This is something I'm going to try today, actually, because it's Thursday when I'm recording this. We're going to do a wins and woof. All right. So one win you've had this week and one woof, one challenge, one fail. And sometimes we can use those fails for our Friday fail newsletter, which if you're not signed up, I would highly recommend. You can also create office playlists curated by a new team member each week. Like, that is such a ritual that we used to have when we were in person. We used to do Show Tunes Friday. Somebody would pick the show tune. We would play it in the office. Creating an office playlist is just fun, right? So it just gets the team bonding and it's a ritual that you know is happening every week. You can make sure you celebrate birthdays or work anniversaries digitally and in person. That is so big to make sure people feel seen on their special days. And this matters so much. Rituals reinforce belonging. According to PwC, employees who feel connected are 5 times more likely to be productive and engaged. So when you make people feel seen, heard, and valued, they want to show up. And when they want to show up, productivity rises. And when that happens, everyone thrives. Here's number eight. Don't just talk about wellness, model it. So leaders who model boundaries, who model rest and mental health, they create permission for others to do the same. I learned this the hard way as a leader back in 2020 when I had nowhere to go. We still had a vacation policy, which was sort of an open-ended vacation policy. And now things have shifted. We do have a 4-day work week. We get 2 weeks of vacation, 8 days of paid vacation. on top of 54 Fridays off a year and the week between Christmas and New Year. So it's a really generous policy. But I, at the time when 2020 was happening, we had an open-ended vacation policy and I wasn't taking any time off. In fact, I was working every second of every day that I wasn't with my family to create something that would keep the company afloat. And my team said, well, you know, we're not taking vacation because you're not. And that was really a moment for me of just looking myself in the mirror and saying, okay, you have to be the leader you want to be led by. And everybody's watching you as the example. As exhausting as it is, it's true. So here's how you can do this. You can not send emails after hours. You schedule sends. Sometimes I have things that I send to my team at night, but I'll schedule the send to go at 8 a.m. the next morning. You can share when you're taking a walk or you're logging off early for mental space. Hey, I'm logging off early tonight. I'm going to go for a walk with my family. You can encourage midday breaks and quiet zones when you're in the office. So APA research shows that employees are 2.5 times more likely to stay at a job when they feel their employer cares about their well-being. One of my favorite clients in the whole world, she, I won't name her name here, but I'll never forget. This was during 2020. She hired us to do a laugh break for her team. It was so high energy, so energizing. And I'll never forget what she said. After we ended the laugh break, they had another 30 minutes left of their meeting. And she goes, actually, this is a wellness break. I want everybody to get off their screens, go for a walk, and meet back on their computers in 30 minutes. And I'll never forget that. I was just so impressed by her leadership because that team deserved that break. They got a laugh break in the day and everyone appreciated it. She's one of the most amazing leaders that I've witnessed. So if you model it, people will take note. So that's number 8. Don't just talk about wellness, model it. And number 9, I want you to make your feedback frequent. So returning to the office isn't a set it and forget it plan. Regular check-ins are going to give space for real-time pivots and for clarity. So again, that anonymous feedback form, that survey, ask people what's working, what's not. If you feel a tightness and closeness with your team, you can even host meetings and say what's working, what's kind of working, what's not working. People appreciate that input. And if you do it anonymously, if you have a larger team, people will actually respond. If you have a smaller team, I would suggest getting them on a meeting. You can create office hours for senior leaders to hear team input as well. So feedback loops are going to boost engagement and innovation. And here's another little data point for you. Qualtrics said that employees who feel heard are 4.6 more likely to feel empowered. And empowered employees make productivity rise. So now, finally, I'm going to get you to number 10. I want you to train your team for change. Hybrid work is not a destination. It's a journey. Teams that practice adapting are better equipped for the next pivot. So you can change. You can, well, I guess what I want to say here is you can run change simulations or improv-based exercises with what-if scenarios. You can use workshops. I know a company called Improve It to strengthen your adaptability and creativity muscles. And you can normalize phrases like, let's try it and see. We'll iterate and changes are constant. Because when you make change a normal thing in your organization, it won't feel as feisty the next time it comes up. Let's do a quick pause here, my peeps. If you are nodding along and thinking, yes, but my team really needs this too, I have got just the thing for you. This is called our Working Through Uncertainty Workshop, and it is a 2-hour interactive experience available virtually for up to 50 people or in person for up to 100. In this experience, we will guide your team through improv-based exercises and reflective prompts that help them manage stress, make confident decisions in chaos, and build serious adaptability muscles. It's playful, it's powerful, and it's exactly what your team needs to not just survive, but thrive through change. If you want to learn more, head to learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com and tell them I sent you. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, my peeps. Hybrid work is not going anywhere, but neither is your opportunity to make it awesome. This is your moment to rewrite the awkward and lead with empathy, clarity, and maybe just a little bit of fun. So here's your homework. This week, I want you to choose one of the 10 tips we covered and implement it. Let me highlight them again for you one more time. Number one, start with empathy. Number two, make the first day back a celebration, not a lecture. Number three, define your purpose, not just your policy. Number four, schedule serendipity. Number five, ditch the one size fits all mentality. Number six, acknowledge the awkward. Number seven, curate connection rituals. Number eight, don't just talk about wellness, model it. Number nine, make feedback frequent. And number 10, train your team for change. So pick your one, then check in with your team. How did it feel? What changed? And if you are feeling brave, I would love for you to share your experience with us. You can leave a 5-star review on iTunes and put a comment in there and tell us what you're taking away from today's show. It would mean the world to us, and it helps us bring more people to our playdates. I want you to remember that leadership is not about perfection. It's about showing up. It's about being seen, and it's about making space for others to do the same. You have got this. We are right here with you. Until next time, you know what I'm going to say. Keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that special it only you can bring. And remember, every single workday is a playdate waiting to happen. I'll see you next week.